Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock. I'm Colette Zernike, your host. With the primary elections being next month, we have nonpartisan running candidate Agnes Moran with us today over Zoom. She's running for District 1's Alaska House of Representatives. Along with Wrangell being in District 1, the region also includes Ketchikan, Saxman, Kaufman Cove, Whale Pass on Prince of Wales Island, and Metlakatla. She is the executive director of Women in Safe Homes, also known as WISH, which is a regional domestic violence shelter. She also serves on the boards of Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and First Bank. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Since Agnes Moran is on a Zoom call, she won't be able to hear your question directly, but you can call the station and ask Cindy, who will relay the question to us. Again, the number is 874-2345. Hi, Agnes. Thanks for coming in and chatting with us today. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm very appreciative of you giving me the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners today.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for coming again. Yeah. How is the campaign going so far?
Oh, it's going well. We had a great 4th of July. We had a float in the Ketchikan Parade. I got to be out in the community meeting and listening to people. So it was a really good time.
Awesome. Great. So earlier this year, you met with KRBD and said you are more of a moderate consensus type of candidate as compared to nonpartisan candidate Grant Echohawk and Republican Jeremy Bynum. You did, however, run as a Republican for the House in 2012 and 2014. What does being a moderate consensus type candidate mean to you?
Well, when you're moderate, I'm more of middle of a road. I'm going to be probably more conservative when you're talking about fiscal issues, and then probably a little more liberal when you're talking more social issues. After working with 7 years, coming up on 8 years at WISH, I really understand some of the issues that folks are struggling with in our community as far as mental health, substance use, and those types of things. And so prior to my time at WISH, I wasn't as well versed on those. And so my opinions have swung a little bit in those arenas. So yeah, so I'll be fiscally conservative and maybe socially a little more liberal.
Great. Thank you so much for that explanation. And I know that you have succeeded in finding funds for the community too in Ketchikan. So that makes perfect sense. So why is running for the House important to you?
Okay. So I was born and raised in Ketchikan, and I'm running for State House because I understand the issues facing communities in District 1. We have a lack of affordable housing. We have a fishing industry in crisis. We've had continual cuts to our people. We've had years of stagnant education funding. As you mentioned, as Executive Director WISH, a member of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board, and a director on First Bank, I have worked to address these issues. At WISH, I secured funding to place counselors and social workers into local schools. I developed a housing program that placed over 100 families into stable housing. And as a First Bank director, I've seen firsthand the hardships fishermen are facing. They have higher costs, they're seeing lower fish prices, and they have fewer processors to sell to. So I'm running for State House because I understand the issues our communities are facing, and I have an established track record of addressing them.
Great, thank you. And yeah, I also read on your website, you know, you definitely have helped assist Southeast Alaska with a lot of the resources, and you just mentioned some of them, which on your website it says community funding, infrastructure development, and advocating for safer communities. I would say that's definitely successful, geared towards communities. And like you said, you found funding for mental health for counselors. And you also obtained training funds for law enforcement. So my question, this might be a little difficult, but What is one of the projects, you know, you're most proud of, and how does that transfer to you as a House candidate?
What is? I think, well, I have two things that I'm very proud of. One is we have a new shelter in Ketchikan. That was a $1.7 million renovation. We took the former Ketchikan Regional Youth Facility, and we renovated it into a safe shelter for, you know, victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And we did that all with grant funding, pretty much, other than a $200,000 mortgage that we took out. So we were able to accomplish that without placing a burden on the local community. The other thing I'm proud of is some of the relationships we've built. We were successful with some of our grant funding because we were able to work with our local Ketchikan Police Department. And you don't see that a lot with domestic violence, sexual assault programs, because they're kind of always on, you know, opposite sides of the fence. But what we were able to do is work with them and bring training into Southern Southeast. And I believe we might even have trained some of your Wrangell folks in some of our some of the trainings that we've done. And the goal for that was, is you can't have a shelter in every one of your communities, but if you can have someone in each community that's trained properly and knows how to treat these victims with respect, you're going to have a lot better outcomes. So I think those are two of the things that I'm, I'm pretty high on. Then I can talk about housing or food distribution or, you know, a lot of other things. But I think as far as impact, the law enforcement training, the new shelter, and then also we did bring a child advocacy center to Southeast Alaska. It's one of the first ones in Southern Southeast. It's the only one in District 1. A child advocacy center is where you, children that have been physically or sexually abused can go and get support and treatment. And that's a collaboration with the police department, the public, the district attorney, your OCS folks, your ICWA folks. It's a collaborative effort. And having the ability to have those kids dealt with or treated in the community just brings much better results for them.
Yeah, great. Thank you. In the KRBD interview, you said that, you know, the top issues for you are improving the Alaska Marine Highway System and diversifying the economy. I know you mentioned a few other issues. What else would be on the top issue list for District 1?
Okay. Yeah. So one of the things that your PFD cuts are the most regressive tool that the legislature has. And it's, you know, they have the largest impact on, largest adverse impact on your families. They take millions of dollars out of your local communities. You know, they throw thousands of Alaskans into poverty each year. You know, the legislature has chosen to shift the burden from tourists and non-residents onto working class and middle class Alaskans. Tourists use our roads, they visit our parks, you know, they benefit from the troopers that we hire, but they're not paying their fair share. And the Alaska legislature has decided to shift the burden from tourists and non-residents over to, you know, to working class and middle class Alaskans. And I'd like to work to be sure that tourists and non-residents pay their fair share.
Great, thank you. And just to be clear, the PFD cuts, it's for the permanent fund, it's the permanent fund dividend cuts.
Yes, the permanent fund dividend cuts.
Yep. And so taxing the tourists would be one way to protect Alaskans.
Well, if you were to tax short-term rentals. So let's look at this. So Wrangell has a housing problem, right? We have seen in communities that when short-term rental companies like your Airbnbs and VRBOs move into a community, homes that would have been rented or sold to locals go towards tourists, and this drives up the price of housing, which drives locals out. And you've seen this firsthand. 36% of your residents in Wrangell are housing burdened, which means they're spending more than 30% of their income on housing. This high cost of living makes it so people can't afford to live in Wrangell. Wrangell's lost 17% of its population since 2019, and your school enrollment is below pre-COVID levels. If you want to make it so that your young people can afford to live in Wrangell, return to Wrangell, start their careers, raise their families, you have to make housing affordable for them. And by taxing short-term rentals, we can use the revenue from that tax to increase the PFD and to build more affordable housing.
Thank you. That was actually one of my questions, and possible solutions to retain the younger population, and increase housing in District 1. So thank you for that. Okay, and then also transportation, I know, is a big issue. The ferry system is a big issue. How will you, as a representative, work to ensure that the ferry services are reliable and consistent?
Okay. So when you look at the ferry system, we had years of of not building new ships. Now Mercalli, Sullivan, and Patola have done the heavy lift and they've secured $225 million for the Marine Highway System. And we're going to have three new ferries coming online. And that's fine as long as you have people to staff them. And so we need to resolve the crew shortages. Since 2019, the resignations and retirements in the Marine Highway System have outpaced hiring. You can't hire workers if they can't afford to live here. And so affordable housing for ferry workers, we have to work on affordable housing across the state. And then once we do have workers here, if they want to improve, if they want to move up and get new certifications, it's expensive. It's like 5 months and $30,000. And if you're going to invest in that amount in your career, perhaps there should be some assistance because otherwise they're not going to stay in the state. So again, it keeps circling around back to affordable housing. You can't bring people in if you can't house them.
Yeah, great. And that, and also just assistance, like you said, with continuing ed, I would say. So how would you support diversifying the economy?
So, all right. We can diversify the economy, but I think before we talk about that, we need to think it's important to ensure that the industries that we currently have in Southeast are able to remain in Southeast. If you look at our fishing industry, for example, the fishing community is one of the largest private sector employers in the state, and fishery taxes are the largest source of revenue for over a dozen communities. Last year, fishermen saw the lowest price of their catch in decades. And if you're a young fisherman starting off, how do you afford a permit payment, a boat payment, a gear payment, insurance, a car payment, house and rent? Right now, at these prices, you just can't. It doesn't pencil out. We're at risk of losing a generation of fishermen. And this is why we need to support Alaska fishermen. We need to support ASME. It can't afford a $10 million budget cut. We need to make sure that food banks across the state are being stocked with Alaskan fish products. I have a food distribution program. We send out 50 food boxes every month to families. There's no reason why I have Iowa pork and Alabama chicken in those boxes and not Alaska salmon. And we need to have HSC step in and provide support. I think that's the first step is we have to stabilize our fishing industry. And then we can talk about bringing new economies in or new industries in. But again, you can't bring new industries in if you can't house the people, if you don't have the affordable housing. So it's they're all kind of intertwined.
It's definitely intertwined. And that was another question I was going to ask you about, protecting fisheries too. So you got it. Okay, great. Thank you. How, I know education funding is important to you. How would you ensure that schools are adequately funded?
Okay. So we need to ensure we need to increase the BSA, right? We have to improve the BSA. We have to provide a pension plan to attract and retain teachers. Right now, we have a 23% turnover rate in the state. You can't have quality education if you're having that churn. We can't retain teachers because we're not competitive. They do not have a pension scheme. So we need to have a permanent increase to the BSA. We need to be competitive, provide our teachers with, you know, competitive salaries and benefits. And we can't ignore the maintenance projects. You know, the legislature put in sufficient funding for 26 of the highest priority sites on the state's list of maintenance program. The government cut all but three of them. And I think Wrangell had several projects on that list that caught up. So you can't just look at the BSA without looking at the rest of it.
Great. And could you explain, are you able to explain how, you know, your role as a House of Representatives can help raise the base student allocation?
Okay. One of the things I've learned as executive director of WISH is how to work across the aisle with multiple, you know, individuals. And so I think that is probably one of my largest talents going in there is just identifying the problem, working with the people, you know, working with your other legislators and coming up with a solution. I do believe that the fiscal plan that was put forward by the bipartisan working group of the legislature several years ago is a good starting point for doing some comprehensive funding revisions to the state. And so I think working off that foundation, we'll be able to find the funding. And once you have the funding identified, then I think it'll be easier to bring people to the table.
Great, thank you. And you brought mental health care access to the community. So I know you have a focus on that. How do you see mental health access improving for all of District 1?
right now, the major issue, the major issue is people on the ground, right? And at WISH, we extended many offers to different counselors that people that were willing, young people starting their careers that were willing to come to the state, they couldn't afford to live here. So until we resolve our affordable housing, it's going to be very difficult to resolve those issues. Now, telehealth has been put forward as an option, but Alaska is unique, right? And a telehealth professional in Louisiana is not going to be able to relate to an elder in a rural community. I've been on those calls. It doesn't work. So we need to grow our own. We need to provide affordable housing. We need to stabilize our economy by not cutting our PFDs. Those have the largest impact on families. And you probably know with your work in domestic violence, when you start having economic problems, that's when, you know, violence escalates. You have violence goes down when you have pay equity. And so we need to improve. We need to work on affordable housing to get any of the other things to come together for us. But on the other side of the things is that we can do what I did in Ketchikan with it. I went out, I secured grant funding, I gave it to the school district. And now they have counselors and social workers in every one of their schools. Metlakatla was struggling. We went over and said, how can we help you? They wanted mental health counselors and social workers. So we arranged some of our grant funding and they hired and placed in their schools mental health counselors and social workers. There's no reason why that can't be happening across Southeast Alaska.
Great. Thank you. And again, and so what sets you apart from the other District 1 House of Representative candidates, Grant Echohawk and Jeremy Bynum?
I have an established track record of addressing the issues that are facing Southeast Alaska. I was born and raised in Ketchikan. I understand what this economy looked like before we were based just only on tourism. I understand what it looked like when we had a vibrant fishing industry, and a thriving timber industry. And you know, those were industries that provided year-round family-paying jobs. And now we're moving to tourism, which doesn't do that. I mean, it's a good industry, but it doesn't provide year-round family-supporting jobs. And in my work at Wish, I've addressed
1:50 p.m.
address most of the issues that we're looking at here. You know, I brought affordable housing into Ketchikan. I partnered with the developer. We signed an MOU with them. They were able to apply for grant funding, and there'll be 18 units of high density housing coming into Ketchikan out on the old dairy property. Housing affordability, I took 100 people essentially off the streets and out of shelters and their families and put them in safe and stable housing. You know, people are facing food insecurity. We developed a food program that feeds over 50 families a month. You know, infrastructure. I've run two major renovation projects and brought a child advocacy center to Ketchikan. You know, I can go on and on. I mean, I have an established track record of identifying issues, finding solutions, and working to bring the funding into the community so we're not draining, you know, local tax dollars.
Thank you. And can you just talk about the renovation projects and infrastructure that you accomplished?
Okay. Those are partnership projects, you know, like I said, which is important, you know, when you're working in this work. The shelter project was a partnership between the city of Ketchikan and Wish. We used a community development block grant. Ketchikan is not eligible for those because as a community of a whole, our tax base is too high. But I found a carve out for sexual assault domestic violence shelters. So we were eligible because of that. So that was, like I said, it was a $1.7 million renovation. The city was generous to us. They gave us the building, but I arranged all of the funding for that. So it was a community development block grant. There were two of those. There was funding from Rasmussen. There was a little bit of ARPA funding in there. It was interesting, but yeah, so there was a whole collection of funding. And then once we moved out of there, one of the things that's been very evident in my work is you can't shelter your way out of here. You have to work on prevention and strengthening your families. So then I went and got another community development block grant, which was a partnership with the borough this time. And that was another $850,000 plus some Denali funding. And we were able to renovate our old shelter and make it into a center, our community services building. And now in that building, we offer our family services program, which provides parent coaching and education for at-risk families. We have our counseling program in there. We put our child advocacy center there and our food distribution and our housing program operate out of there, as well as our administrative. Then the child advocacy center is part of the community services building, but that was a separate funding project. We were originally in the public health building and we were so busy they asked us to leave. And so then it was a scramble to find funding to renovate a part of the area to put the child advocacy center in there. So those are three of the infrastructure projects that I've done in the last few years.
Thank you. Okay, so we talked a lot. We covered a lot of you know, topics for District 1. Is there anything else on your priority list?
Well, my top priorities are, you know, are fishing, affordable housing, education, and the PFD. Those, I think, are just critical to District 1. We can't afford to lose our fishing sector. We can't attract new businesses into the communities unless we, you know, take care of affordable housing. People aren't going to want to move here if we don't have quality schools. And then PFD cuts, you know, affect working class and middle class Alaskans. They have the highest adverse effect on that population. And so we need to provide all the supports we can to them, and we can do that by limiting PFD cuts.
Great, thank you. And I know, you know, a lot of people are concerned about climate change. Do you have any ideas on how to address that? It's a big question.
I don't think I'd be sitting in Ketchikan if I could solve climate change. We're blessed in Southeast Alaska with hydroelectric, which is is a great renewable energy source. And I think we just need to continue to make those investments in renewable energy. Up along the rail belt, there's several hydro projects up there that can help move the rail belt off of natural gas and more onto hydro. On the Mental Health Trust Board, we just enacted a lease outside of Fairbanks to bring on some wind projects and solar projects. There's a lot of things out there that we can do, but what we need to do in conjunction with that is we need to work with the University of Alaska so they can expand their technology training programs, because right now a lot of the techs that work on in these industries come from outside. So I think that's another area where we can support our young people is with training, or people returning to the workforce, is if we can grow those disciplines within the state to work on these turbines, to work on these solar panels, to work on some of these transmission systems, I think we'll be better off in the long run.
That's great. I also had energy on my question list and you covered it, but I do have a thought. How you said working with the university and bringing young people in, that also weaves in affordable housing too. So I can see how that all works together. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans on visiting Wrangell before the primary?
Yes. I'll be up in Wrangell actually on the First Bank is having its 100th celebration coming up here on the 19th. And so I'll be in Wrangell a day before that just to meet with people in the community. Then I'll participate in the First Bank celebration for their 100th anniversary. And then we'll be back for Bear Fest. So yeah, we'll be up in Wrangell a couple times before the primary.
Wonderful. Thank you. I had no idea 100th year anniversary for First Bank.
Is
really, really exciting. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, I think we need to get back to fundamentals. And I think the one thing that separates me from my opponents is that I'm very good at getting things back to the fundamentals, working a solution based on that, and bringing the right people together to move projects forward. I've done that for the past 7 years at WISH, and I'd like to take that to the state level and bring that across for all the residents of District 1.
Great. I really appreciate you coming in and informing the community about, your candidacy and what it means to you running for House of Representatives. Thank you so much for coming in via Zoom. Right. So that was Agnes Moran speaking with me on Talk on the Rock. Next.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.